All right, let's start. Well, let's turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Okay, so we read earlier that Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Capernaum and they entered into the city. And it says there in verse 24 that there were men that were collecting tribute money. And that word tribute money is 2 drachma or half shekel. And then in verse 27, the piece of money that would be inside the fish's mouth, that is one... Do I need to move one of these? I've got to turn my mouth and speak into that. And okay. And... it's one full shekel, so that's when Jesus said, "You pay for you and for me." Okay, so the one shekel will pay for pay the tribute tax for Jesus and Peter. Now, this tribute money was the half shekel which the men of Israel had to pay as a ransom for their soul. Whenever they number the people, they would have to pay a ransom for their soul, and everyone had to pay the same amount. Okay, it didn't matter if you were rich or poor. You had to pay a half shekel as a ransom for your soul. And when they first did that in the days of Moses, they melted that money down and used the silver to make the foundation of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And so the foundation of the house of God was built upon the redemption of the people of God. Amen? That's the picture that that God is giving there. And the same thing with the church. There's no church without the redemption of the souls of men. Because the church is a gathering of saved men and women who have baptized and that have decided to come together and worship God in one mind and in one body. And so that's what the people of Israel had to do. They had to pay this half shekel, and they would use this half shekel for the temple, and it became they developed that tax to become something that would be something regular in the people of Israel. And in the days of Josiah, he was collecting money to repair the temple, and he would put a box out the front of the temple, if you remember that, and the people had to put their money in there. And they would use that money to do the work of the temple and to fix it. And then, as all things do, modernized, they get modernized, and now the box is no longer at the temple door, now the box comes to you. Amen? It's like the offering bag. If the pastor came around to your house and said, "It's time to pay." No? And so... here it was at Capernaum, and Jesus and his disciples, as they normally would, they were entering into that city and they were staying at a certain place. And it just happened to be that these men were collecting the money on the way to that house. And Jesus, with his disciples, Jesus being in front, of course, he walks past those men and doesn't pay. And so the men grab hold of Peter as he's following along and says, "Hey, doesn't your master pay the tribute? Doesn't he pay the tribute tax for the temple?" And Peter's now in a difficult situation because Jesus made a mistake, right? And now he has to fix it. That's usually how we live our lives. We think, "Oh, what's God doing now? I better fix this problem. He's made a mistake." And we try to fix it ourselves. And so Peter's in this situation, and you know, he's remembering Jesus has taught us, you know, to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's and things like that. And so he's weighing it all up, and he says, yes, of course Jesus pays the tribute tax for the temple." And they go, "Okay, well, we're waiting for him to come back." So then he goes off, continues on, and when he gets to the house, Jesus stops him at the door. And he says, "What are you thinking, Simon? Yeah. Don't you know who I am? Have you forgotten who I am? You've been with me all these years and you've forgotten who I am? I don't have to pay the tribute tax for the temple, Peter. I am the Son of God. I own the temple. The children are free. I'm the Son of God, and it's my house, my Father's house. And if I want to go to my Father's house and do my Father's business, I'm allowed to, Peter, because it belongs to me. And if I want to go into the temple and cast out the money changers and tell those people that they've turned my Father's house, which was supposed to be the house of prayer, into a den of thieves, I can do that, Peter, because it belongs to me. I own the temple." Don't forget who I am, Peter. You've forgotten who I am. I am the Son of God. And you can imagine all the I am's returning to Peter. You know, he's saying, I am the bread of life, and I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I'm the door. You know, I am the light of the world. And all these things flooding back into Peter's memory. Don't forget who I am, Peter. Remember who I am. And if you're here this morning and you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you came to Him in faith, in repentance and faith, and He met you with forgiveness and with salvation, then the Bible says, know you not that you are the ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. Okay? And so we have to begin to think about this also when we remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Does He have to pay the temple tax to come in to this temple? He should be able to just come in and do whatever He chooses, amen? But you know what we say? Lord, if you do this for me, I'll be faithful to you. Ever said that before? Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. In other words, you want to come in here and do anything? You pay the money. Show me the money. Pay the tax. And we have to consider in our own hearts, you know, is this the house of prayer or the den of a thief? And when is Jesus able to come in and remove from this temple whatever He chooses? Because we've put things in, and we put idols in the temple, and we put desires, and we put, you know, success and things like this. We put them ahead of God, and we put them in that place of worship where only God should be in our hearts, and He should be able to come in and cast those money changers out of there and say, get this out of here. This isn't what the body is for. This isn't what is supposed to be in here. This is supposed to be the house of prayer, not the den of a thief. And so when we come, when we remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is, there's a certain amount of judgment. When we judge ourselves, and like it says in the book of Corinthians, when we come to the Lord's table, we're supposed to judge ourselves, not others. And if we judge ourselves, we'll be judged of no man. Because I'm making sure that I'm staying clean. And so Jesus is reminding the Apostle Peter, he's saying to him, remember who I am. I am the Son of God. And that is really the building block or the foundation of the Christian life. Yeah, because we forget so easily who Jesus is. We'll go home, even after church today, you'll go home, and is Jesus going to be the first thought? The second? Third? Is He even going to be there in your thoughts? You see? So we forget who He is, and we forget to give Him the place that He deserves in our hearts. And so we must remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And when we remember who He is, then that must come out in our lives in some practical way. And so Jesus, reminding Peter who He is, He gives him a job to do. He says, look, Peter, you thought I made a mistake and that you fix it. But really, you've made a mistake because I don't have to pay this tax. And now you've told them that I will. And so that we don't offend them, I've got a special job just for you. You're going to fix the problem that you created. Okay? Now, He chooses Peter's occupation. And then I think that's very interesting. The thing that Peter knows the best, the thing that he's talented at, the thing that he is gifted and that he has studied and perfected with his life so that he could base his life upon it, that he could pay all of his bills and support his family, God chose that one thing. Jesus chose that career. And He says, Peter, this is what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, sometimes when we say we don't want to surrender to God because we know that He'll ask us to do something we don't want to do, or that He'll ask us to do something difficult, or something like that. Well, Peter is going to be given something that's very easy to do for him. Amen? God's saying, I want you to do something that's really easy. And so he says to Peter, I want you to go down the sea. Oh, well, you know, I live on the sea. That's no problem. Of course I'll go there for you. You know, then I want you to cast a hook. Hey, I'm a fisherman. This is what I do for a living. Then I want you to catch a fish. Oh, I'm a master. I've perfected it. And then I sell the fish, right? And I get the money and I pay the tax. Because that's what Peter had always done. Sold the fish, got the money, paid his bills. Amen? No, Peter. Not your way. Amen? Not your way. My way. Now listen, it's very important that you do exactly what I say. Go down the sea, cast a hook, and the first fish that you catch will have a coin in its mouth. Use that money to pay for you and for me. That's crazy. It's impossible. Can you imagine what God would have to do to prepare a miracle like this? You know, Jesus, sometime in the past, some guy was standing on a boat and he maybe just got paid for fishing and stuff like that, and he's sitting there, he's admiring this one talent that he has in his hand, and while he's thinking about all the things that he could buy with it, like buying his wife a new dress or some new flowers or something like that, or maybe paying off the car or the horse and cart, I suppose, back in those days, or the house. He's sitting there admiring this coin, and his mate comes along and gives him a slap on the back like all mates do, and he's chucked it in the sea. Someone had to lose something. There had to be a coin in the sea for the fish to have one in its mouth. Amen? Okay, so someone had to lose something for him to be able to fix his problem. Okay, no one's an island. Everything that we do affects someone else. And even in the preparation of the resolution of our problems, someone has to pay. And so here the coin is in the sea. And then Jesus didn't tell him where to go. Could have been left, right, in the middle. He didn't know where he had to go fishing. Could have been anywhere. And then he says to prepare to catch a fish with a hook, like with a rod and hook. And there's a difference between men who go fishing and the men who love fishing. The man who loves fishing doesn't just pick up any old rod and any old hook and any old bait. You know, he's a person who loves fishing. He's thinking about what kind of fish are going past at the time, and you know, what kind of bait do they eat, and you know, how am I going? Which kind of line should I use, heavy or thin? And he's thinking about these things, how he can catch a fish, because he wants to make sure that he catches something when he goes to the sea. That's what a person who loves fishing does. A guy who just wants to go fishing just goes the first thing he sees and goes and hopes. Okay, Peter was a master. He's going to make sure that he catches something. And then, I don't know if you've ever seen a fish eat. Have you ever seen a fish eat? When you feed them in a fish tank, you throw the food on the top and they come up and they eat it. And they don't get all of it. Some of it falls to the bottom. Right? And being a goldfish, after about 3 seconds, it forgot that it ate. And it's sniffing around for some food and it goes down to the bottom of the fish tank. And what does it do? Sucks in, right? And it sucks in food and rocks and whatever's on the bottom of the fish tank. And then what does it do? It goes, you go, like that, all the way along the bottom of the fish tank. Why does it spit out the rocks? Because they don't eat rocks. It's too hard to digest. Okay? It just doesn't eat them. Okay? So while it's, and it's instantaneous, very quickly, it sucks in and blows out. Okay, so what would Peter have to do to be able to catch a fish with a coin in its mouth? Well, he would have to go down to the sea, not knowing where, cast that hook in the sea, and that hook would have to land next to that piece of money. Okay, there's a million and, that's probably worse than that, it's probably a billion and a one chance of doing that. And then, so that when the fish came along and grabbed the hook, it would grab the coin as well. And Peter, being an expert fisherman, would be able to jag that fish before it could go. You understand? That's impossible. It's impossible. Humanly impossible. And Peter, you know, you can imagine what thoughts he may have been having at that time, where he would say, well, look, Jesus, you have the words of life. Okay, and if you want to tell me about anything spiritual, I'll listen to you because you know better than I do about those things. But don't tell me about fishing. You know, for years, I've been doing it this way. I've been catching fish with nets and with hooks and with my hands, and whatever way I can catch them, I can catch them. Okay, and I've never caught a fish with a coin in its mouth. It just doesn't happen. It's impossible. So what does he have to do? He has to remember who Jesus is. Amen? He has to remember who Jesus is and then do exactly what he said. There's the key to the Christian life. Amen? Remembering who he is, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and doing exactly what he says. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you think it's impossible. Maybe you think it doesn't sound logical even. But Jesus knows best. Amen? When you remember who he is, you say, well, it doesn't seem to work out in my mind, logically, how that could possibly fix the problem or how that could possibly work. But Jesus knows best. Amen? Jesus knows better than me. And I'm going to do exactly what he says. Now, this isn't the first fish that God had prepared. You know whose fish it was that God had prepared first? Jonah. Okay? The Bible says he prepared a fish for Jonah. Okay? And so, if you think about this fish that swallowed Jonah whole, okay, Jonah was a full-grown man. You know, how big would a fish have to be able to swallow an entire full-grown man? Okay, it would have to be at least 12 to 15 feet long for a 5-foot-something man to fit in its stomach. Okay, how long would it take a fish to grow that big? Okay. Years! Okay? It would take a long time for that fish to get that big. Okay? And you know what that means? That God knew a long time before that Jonah was going to run, before Jonah even knew what the command was. The solution was prepared beforehand, knowing that he was going to run in the other direction. And the same thing here with Peter. God had prepared things so that Peter would be able to do this miracle, that he would be able to fix this problem which he had got himself into. And this really is something that God does in our lives on a daily basis. We can get ourselves into trouble. Sometimes trouble comes upon us. The Bible says that we will not be tempted above that which we are able, because he has made a way of escape. There's always a solution that God has prepared beforehand for the problem that you're in. Okay? The solution is already prepared before you even know what the problem is. When you get in it, then you have to say, Lord, save me, help me, show me what I have to do to get out of this problem. And so we have to remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is and then do exactly what he says. And salvation is pretty much exactly that. It was a solution which God had prepared for man before man even knew what he needed. And before we repented, Jesus had died 2,000 years. God had pre-prepared a solution for your problem. And then you're just walking in it now. And so remember who he is and do exactly what he says. Amen? Amen? That is the key to the Christian life. That is the solution for the difficulties that we have. That doesn't mean that we won't have difficulties or that we'll remove all the difficulties. Okay? That he had never promised to do that, to remove all those things. Okay? We need some. Otherwise we'd have no reason to trust. Amen? And so we have to put things into perspective. But God says, look, if you remember who I am and do exactly what I say, okay, you will see a miracle. I'll be able to do a miracle through you. I'll be able to use your gifts and your talents and even your career to be a miracle I can make a miracle out of you. And Peter, God, the Lord Jesus Christ used Peter's career to make this miracle happen. You know what he had to do? He had to stop doing it his own way. Amen? This is the way I've always done it. No, stop. Okay? Now do it my way and watch and see what I can do. And I'm going to show myself strong through your weakness. I'm going to show you that I can overcome things which you can't do and have never been able to do. I'm going to show myself strong in you. And we, when we started the church in Baben, and we weren't quite sure how things were going to go, because the history of that town was that people who had tried to start churches there were beaten with sticks and hunted out of town so that they wouldn't be able to start a church there. And so we thought, okay, well, let's see what happens when we go there. Well, we didn't have any hoarding, you know, hordes of villagers with sticks, which was a blessing. No, but we had a man that comes quite regularly, but he never comes into the church. Okay, he stands out the front of the church, and he yells and screams and curses anyone that comes to the church. Okay? Amen. Amen. We have to learn something about being a Christian. Amen? About being serious and about knowing what we believe and willing to suffer for that. And I said, we have to do good to this man. And if we win him, everyone in town will know because he's making such a big scandal in the middle of town. And I said, until then, we've got free advertising. Amen? You don't have to tell anyone when the services are on. They just know. Because here's this guy, woo, real loud voice, yelling in the streets. I reckon every church needs someone like that. Someone just to remind you that you're in a spiritual warfare. Amen? Someone to make you serious about what you believe. You know, and it really sorts out the sheep from the goats before they come to church. You know? And people get curious because of him. Wondering, oh, what are these people doing that makes this guy, I want to yell and scream at them all the time. They come in and have a look. Yeah. And so God shows himself strong in those kind of difficulties, and he overcomes those difficulties. And then we had some new neighbours, and they weren't very happy about us being there, so they used to turn the music up really loud when we come to church. And Christmas Day 2013, that's what they did. The music went up and it was so loud, you could hear it for blocks before you got to the church, that they had started the music before we got there. And because people had started setting up and stuff like that. And we couldn't hear each other in the building when we were singing. Okay, it was that loud. And so it was, okay, will we even bother preaching today? Because no one's going to hear what we have to say. You know? And you have to remember Ezekiel and the dry bones. Can these bones live? I don't know, Lord. Well, preach to the bones. Oh, that doesn't sound too wise, you know, to preach to the bones. They can't hear anything. So he preached and they came alive. Amen? Well, we preached not knowing whether anyone could hear us, and the lady got saved. She came forward at the invitation and asked to be saved and go through the Bible with her, and that was Veronica. Saved on Christmas Day 2013. And so God shows himself strong through the persecution, through our weakness. And her testimony was that the music, it was so loud in the building, she said. But when the preaching began, the only thing she could hear was the voice of the preacher in her ear. So it's just God made it so that she could hear the message. And so you just do what God says. Amen? You just preach the word. You don't know what's going to happen. But God's going to do a miracle through you if you just do what he says. And that's how the Christian life should be. Someone, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it might have been Leonard Ravenhill. No. Yes, it was him. Leonard Ravenhill. He said, you either live a supernatural life or a superficial life. There's no middle way. You're either living life for yourself, something temporary, something useless, or you're living a supernatural life that affects eternity and that does something for God. So you have to choose what kind of life you want to have. If you want to have a supernatural life, you have to remember who Jesus is and do what he says. Amen? You want to have a superficial life? Just do what you want. Okay? And do it your way. And that's exactly what you'll get. And so, Jesus is very clear here for the Apostle Peter. Remember who I am and do exactly what I say. And you'll you'll bring the solution to the problem. I think he leaves it unanswered. He doesn't tell us whether Peter went or whether he found the coin or anything like that. He just leaves it like that. And I think that's for us. If we were given a solution like that to our problems, what would we do? Would we do what Jesus said? And so we have to remember who he is, and that means that we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus able to come in here into his Father's house and do his Father's business whenever he chooses, or are we waiting for some kind of payment from God before he's allowed to come in? Is this the house of prayer or the den of a thief? And are we doing what Jesus said? I had a person come up to me here in Australia and said, so what is it that Jesus wants me to do? And I said, well, that's why it's called a personal walk with God. Amen? You have to ask him yourself. Because I don't know what your career is. I don't know what your talents are. I don't know what your gifts are. God knows those things. He knows what your background is. And God has something specific for you. Because the Bible says that he has already prepared works for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. After you're saved, you're supposed to do good works which he has before ordained that you should walk in them. I don't know what those things are. And you can answer, and the Lord Jesus Christ can answer that question for you. But if he says, this is what I want you to do, will you do what he says? Because that's really the only solution to the problem. Any other solution that we try to do in our own strength just makes more problems. It's just the way that it is. Because we're weak. We don't know how. We usually do it the wrong way. And so may the Lord give us grace to remember, even today when we go home and we see, oh, I've got to cook lunch or I've got to, you know, clean this or do that. Remember who Jesus is. Amen? And do what he says. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would help us, Lord, to keep you in our minds every day. And Lord, that we would be able to live a supernatural life. As you, Lord, said you would show yourself strong in our weakness. Lord, help us to hand over our weaknesses to you, that you might use it and that you might make us and turn us into a miracle in whatever way that you would choose. And so, Lord, we commit this time, we commit our hearts to you, and we ask, Lord, for you to be glorified through all that we say and do with the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.